And it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today. If you haven't had a chance to meet Stephen and his lovely wife, Angela, please do so before the end of service. But I work with Stephen Ralph at the Evansville Christian Life Center. He is the director of the Anti-Poverty Initiative there. We work in different buildings. I'm at the health clinic, which is a separate site. However, I have already learned so much from Stephen, and I haven't shared this with him yet, but I had the chance to serve alongside of him at the Homeless Coalition program they put on not too long ago. And I tell you, I learned so much about a population of people that I never really realized I needed to know much about. And I was very grateful for that. And it really opened up my eyes to maybe some prejudices or stereotypes that I maybe had, or just my attitude towards a group of people that really Christ described as the least of these. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say and just to continue to learn from him. So please join me in welcoming Stephen Ralph.
Testing one. Oh, there we go. All right. All right. Good morning. It is my profound pleasure and honor to be with you this morning and to share a little bit of my story and to stand in the gap this morning with Andy not being present. And so Andy asked me to share a little bit of my story and how it intertwines with the gospel. And so I just like to, if anybody's ever read the book, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, I'm going to take one of his concepts, and we're going to begin with the end in mind this morning, and hopefully that will keep me on track. But is that the camera for the online? Hello, everybody that may be watching online. So glad to have you as well. And I just want to, before we get started, just to open up with a word of prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. Father, a loving Father, and who gave your Son Jesus Christ that we may lock on to the gospel, Father, and receive salvation in his name. Father, we thank you for this day that you've blessed us with and the much needed rain. We thank you for all those who are here under this roof and watching online. Father, as we begin to just talk this morning about the woman with the issue of blood that is spoken of in your word, Father, I just ask that we open our hearts and our minds this morning to lean into her story. Father, we ask that you meet us here in this space to help us to learn and to grow and to understand how our story connects with hers. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I have lived experience in poverty and in homelessness. And I grew up in a very large family of one of 11 kids. I have six brothers and four sisters. And I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up, my father's a pastor, grew up in the Pentecostal church. And so the story that I have to tell about my journey, the journey that I've been on, that God has placed me on, and that continues still, is one that involves homelessness and poverty and poor decisions and bad choices. And I'm not from Evansville, Indiana. And the story of how I got to this community is a painful one. sometimes for me to tell, because it involves those poor decisions and bad choices and addiction and poverty. But it's an important one to tell because in the work that I do, it's vitally important to be able to connect with people who are experiencing some of the same things that I've witnessed and observed and have experienced myself. But I haven't always been good with sharing that story. And that's why I'm standing before you this morning, because our God is an awesome God. And let me tell you, he's been putting on my heart for quite some time this message. And it's not even a message that I created. I'm not a preacher. This is not a sermon. Well, what it is me sharing a little bit of a story in Scripture that has really resonated in my heart. And I hope that in some form or fashion, you will find yourself in this story. We're going to read some Scripture about the woman with the issue of blood. And so we're going to read the passage in the book of Mark. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn to Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 25. Mark 5, verse 25. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. Or as my pastor, Ray Brown, says at the gathering, if you have your Gentile Bible, you can also follow. You could follow on that as well. So it says here, now this is an interesting story. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background because there's a lot to this story. As oftentimes happens in the Bible, there's a story that happens within a story. And so in this story, Jesus had been teaching on the other side of the Galilean shore, and he returns to the Galilean side of the shore. And he's met with a crowd of folks. And a synagogue leader by the name of Jairus falls before him and tells him that his daughter, who's 12 years old, is sick and is dying. And he implores Jesus to come and to save her, to heal her before she passes. And so Jesus, with the crowd of folks who have gathered to hear him, Jesus has, with the preaching and the miracles, he had just come from releasing the demons from the man who had been possessed by demons, and the demons were cast into a herd of pigs. And so he had just come from that when he came to the other side of the shore, and the throng, the crowd had already known that he was coming back and had began to gather and get excited for him to preach. And so it's in the midst of this story that he's interrupted by a woman with the issue of blood. I'm sure she had a name, but that's what the Bible calls her. We don't know her name, and we don't know what caused the issue of blood. Certainly we could speculate, but what we do know is that the issue of blood happened for 12 years, and it was serious, and she had tried everything in her power to get this situation fixed, to be healed from this condition that she had, and to no avail. As a matter of fact, as we're about to read in the Scripture, it had only gotten worse. So let's pick up in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, and it says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd, and he said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowds pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And I'm reading from the ESV version. But so we see the story as it's laid out here. And I have had the pleasure of, and Leslie as well, we attended the Global Leadership Summit. And I don't know, maybe some of you have as well. And so this is part of a message that I heard from a minister there. His name is Judah Smith. He's the pastor of Church Home, which I believe is in Washington. But he was one of the speakers at the Global Leadership Summit, and he chose this passage from Scripture to share, and it really resonated with me. Now, having grown up in church, I mean, I've heard this story many, many times. And I've always loved the story. But for some reason, when I heard, and this was back in August when we did the Global Leadership Summit, and I heard this, it really stuck with me. And there was something about it that I know that God was trying to tell me that I wasn't quite getting yet, you know, and that's kind of how God works, right? He plants a seed and it germinates and you think about it and you're not quite sure what it means, but you know God is trying to tell you something. And so it was about 2 weeks later that a friend of mine who serves on the worship and technical teams at the gathering, he also works at the Evansville Rescue Mission, and he leads the Celebrate Recovery men's groups that happen once a week. And he approached me and he asked me if I would be willing to share a little bit of my story with the guys in the Celebrate Recovery group. And I said yes. And I was actually kind of surprised at how quickly I said yes, because normally, you know, I really take a lot of time to think about where I go and speak and those opportunities, because it's something I've always been mindful of. Like I said, telling the story that involves bad decisions, bad choices, and addiction is a hard one to tell for me. And so, but I knew that this was something I needed to do, and it had been a while since I'd done something like this. And so it automatically made sense to me that this was the opportunity that God was preparing me for, and the scripture about the woman with the issue of blood and how that connected to my own story, my own life, was what I needed to share when I went and spoke with these gentlemen. And that's what I did. And it really brought home to me what God was trying to tell me about the power of my story. Now, I've been working at the Evansville Christian Life Center for 11 years. And by the way, I'm reading from my wife's Bible, Angela. She's here this morning. I love the big print in here. But yeah, I've worked at the Life Center for 11 years, and I'm the director of anti-poverty initiatives, and we have a program that we run called GAIN, and GAIN stands for the Getting Ahead Initiative Network. And what it is it's an opportunity for folks who are experiencing poverty and instability to get into an investigative work group. My good friend Lee Miller, sitting in the back, he volunteers with the program and helps me to run the program. But what we're doing is we're working with folks who are experiencing poverty and instability, and we're investigating what causes poverty, and we're looking at new information, and we're figuring out how we can apply that information to our lives to build resources and become more stable and self-sufficient. And so I've never really had a problem sharing my story with folks who are in situations similar to mine, in that when it comes to my program, I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about helping people. So it's easy to tell that story about what I do, the ministry that I have at the Life Center. And so I oftentimes share with participants who are coming into the program the journey that I've been on and the struggles I've had, because sometimes that helps to break down a wall and to build a bridge and allow someone the opportunity to be a part of something that can help them out. As we look at this story, what resonated about this with me is the power, the boldness, the courage that the woman with the issue of blood had. Now, this story is told in three of the four Gospels. It also appears in Luke chapter 8, and we're going to take a look at that in a second, because I love the passage of Scripture in Luke that kind of sheds a little additional context and insight into the woman. But the sharing of my story is why I'm up here tonight, or this morning, and how difficult that has been for me, and why, and God is speaking to me about this through this scripture. In that, in working at the Life Center and in striving to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in our community and helping people move forward, and see, even now, I'm struggling. And this is why. This message is first and foremost for me. God chose this message for me and put me in this position precisely because it makes me uncomfortable. And so when I began this work and this GAIN initiative and working with people and helping them to move forward and build resources, that was great, and I was sharing my story. And then at some point, the program began to expand and grow, and we're out and about in the community, and we're creating partner sites, and we're doing this with other agencies and organizations who are working with clients. And so the focus of my job has kind of shifted from one where I'm engaged constantly with individuals who are experiencing problems and barriers and challenges to one where I'm pouring into people who are going to be in charge of taking care of folks in these situations. And it's been a challenge for me, because being on this side of the table now, being an administrator, being, you know, that middle class institutional person that's running a program, it's kind of disconnected me a little bit with my story. And at some point, I began to resist telling my story and sharing the struggles that I've had. But I want to, let's flip over to Luke chapter 8 and read the additional insight and context that is provided in the scripture about this story. And so in verse 47, Luke says, "And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed." And it highlights and it underscores that sometimes we have to share our acts of faith with many people, because that can encourage others to step out into faith. I don't know about you, but when I see people stretching and growing and taking risks and stepping out into faith, that bolsters my faith. Their acts of faith encourage me to step out of myself. And so I know that in sharing my story and my struggles, I'm doing the same thing. But at some point, I began to be resistant to that and began to be more of a pleaser of men. I began to focus on, I felt like with the program expanding and this really trying to build this thing up and my own focus changing from direct engagement with people to more of a supervisory thing, I began to focus more on performance, began to focus more on character and morality, because I felt like I've been given so much responsibility. People have entrusted me with this program, and now it's growing, and great things are happening. And now I'm getting scared. I'm getting freaked out. And when the focus changed and I started to really, not that that performance, character, morality isn't something you should focus on. But the problem for me is that it became the pride of performance, the pride of character, the pride of morality. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I said I'm not from this community. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, but I was raised most of my life in Southern California, Los Angeles area. And I came here in 2008. And the story of how I got here is that I was an alcoholic. I was in my early 30s when my mother approached me and told me that she was dying of leukemia. I had just gotten out of a relationship with my son's mother, who was not my wife. And it was a really, really hard time for me. And when my mother told me that she was dying of cancer, she asked me to move back home with her. And at that point in time, as I was leaving this relationship, and I took my son with me, and I moved in with my mother, and I helped to take care of her. She wanted an opportunity to be a grandmother to her grandson before she passed as well. And it was very hard to see her over the next 2 years waste away. And when she passed away, as much as I thought I'd prepared myself for that moment, and you already know where I'm going with it. You can't, right? And it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I caved. And I turned to alcohol to deal with the grief and the loss. And if any of you have ever had an addiction issue, you know that at some point the addiction takes over in your life, spirals out of control, and that's exactly what happened to me. I ended up leaving all the people, places, and things that were familiar to me to come out here. And I didn't even know what I was doing when I was coming out here. I went back to Kansas City, Missouri to try to get myself together. I sent my son to live with his mother. And I came out here and I struggled. I struggled really bad. I was homeless in Kansas City, spent some days on the street. Was dealing with my alcohol issue, got into it with the police, ended up in jail, ended up in the hospital, beat up, broken, bruised, defeated. And to make matters worse, I met somebody over here who was from this community, and I got into a relationship, and I came out here to live with her, and it was a bad situation too. I had not yet dealt with my drinking problem. She had people who were living with her, who were under house arrest. It was just a crazy situation, and the cops were being called out there constantly, and one evening the cops were called out there, and I knew I had to get out of that situation. I asked them, I said, is there any place I can go? Is there a homeless shelter somewhere where I could go? And they took me to the homeless shelter, and the first night they took me to the homeless shelter, I had so much alcohol in my system, I couldn't even pass the breathalyzer test to get in to the homeless shelter. I had to walk around downtown Evansville until I could sober up enough to pass the breathalyzer, just so I could get a bed to sleep. And then I'd been drinking so long and so hard that it wasn't but 24, I hadn't even been in the rescue mission for 24 hours when I fell out, passed out from alcohol withdrawal, hit my head on the concrete. I still have a scar where I had 9 staples put in my skull to deal with that. But it was in the midst of all of that that God reached out to me and gave me an opportunity. But I had not yet reached my level of desperation. To reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garments. Like the woman with the issue of blood. And I realized that that's what I needed to do. That my life was not going to change until I became desperate enough to push through the crowd of addictions and bad decisions and bad choices to get close enough to Jesus on my hands and knees to reach out and touch the hem of his garment that I might be healed. I love this woman because In essence, it says that she was sneaky. When the crowd came, this woman with the issue of blood, and if you understand what Scripture says about having an issue of blood, it made her ceremoniously unclean. She was not to participate in society, because for as long as she had the issue of blood, anything that she touched, anybody that touched her, if she touched something and somebody else touched that, they were ceremoniously unclean as well. So she was an outcast from society, a pariah, unclean. When I was in my 2 years of homelessness here in Evansville, I felt the same way. It's amazing how when you're homeless, you feel like you can just float through walls and windows and people don't even notice you're there. They willfully ignore you because you're an outcast, you're a pariah, you're unclean. You don't fit in society. You're a problem that needs to be solved. But I had reached that level of desperation, and I had reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and he healed me. He poured into me, and he gave me the opportunity that my lived experience in homelessness and poverty could serve to bring others not only to a better place in life, but to him. That through my weakness, that God's power and glory could shine through me and affect other people. And so this woman, when she sees Jesus, she's done everything she can. She's spent 12 years and everything she's had to try to stop the bleeding, and nothing worked. It even got worse for her. But when she heard when Jesus was going to be there, she knew she had to hide. She had to stand to the side and wait till the crowd was there. And then she made her move. She decided, this is it. I've got to be bold and courageous. And no matter what people think of me, all I'm fixated on is Jesus. The woman was sneaking. She was hiding. She didn't want to be discovered. And when I listened to this message in the Global Leadership Summit, there was a point where Judah, the speaker, he looked right at the camera and he said, "Are you hiding, leader?" And that too hit me like a ton of bricks in the chest. Because I was hiding. I was beginning to cover up my story and focus again on performance, character, and morality, to the point that I was forgetting that I'm a product of grace. My story is a product of grace. You're a product of grace. Angela, you're a product of grace. When she touches the hem of his garment, she is healed. But make no mistake, it wasn't the robe or the tassel. It wasn't the principle that healed her. It was the person in Jesus Christ. It wasn't the law that healed her. It was the fulfiller of the law. When Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" He did so because he needed that woman to know something. When she realized that she could no longer hide, she came trembling at his feet to proclaim the instant healing that had eluded her for so long. And she said, "When I touched you, I was healed instantly." And then Jesus, I love Jesus' response. He reaches down to her and he says, "Oh, daughter, you weren't even a part of my agenda today. I was on my way somewhere else when you interrupted the program. But I choose you. Of all the people who were crowding around Jesus and touched him, it was the woman's faith and the power that went out of Jesus to heal him that he turned around to acknowledge that." He said, your faith has made you well. And of course, he meant the source of her faith, and that is Jesus Christ. So I guess I'm kind of putting myself on the hook here this morning, because I'm rededicating myself to making sure that I share my story and tell my story, because that's part of what makes me effective. God's power and glory shining through my weakness, connecting to other people, helping to break down walls and build bridges, to build relationships that allow me an opportunity to speak into someone's life and to be heard. But more importantly, allows me to bring people to Christ. Because inevitably, when I'm working with folks and I share my story and they see my struggles and where I've been, the question then becomes, how did you do it? How did you move forward? How did you overcome addiction? How did you get out of homelessness? Why are you where you're at now? And that's my opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done to me. Sharing my faith, sharing my struggles, being vulnerable, being desperate, remaining desperate, and clinging to Jesus. For me, sharing my story becomes an act of worship that expresses the gratitude that I have in my heart for what God has done. And so this morning, as I close, I want you to pray for me as I pray for you, that we will continue to lean into this story, that we will identify ourselves with the woman with the issue of blood and how she was healed. And so I urge you this morning, brothers and sisters in all love, to return to the feet of Jesus. If you're weak, if you're weary, if you're overburdened or burned out, if you're hiding. Is the pride of performance, the pride of character, and the pride of morality altering your story of grace? Your shaky, sneaky, desperate self at the feet of Jesus has the opportunity to transform your life, has the power to transform our community, and indeed, the power to change the world. God bless you all. I love you, and to God be the glory.